I believe every Christian should ask for these three things, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And we're trying to give you things, practical things, for your Christian life that would be helpful for you on an everyday basis. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, he's already done it, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to read that again, because this is one of the most important verses of your life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what that says is that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your spirit. And then your spirit becomes a heavenly place. Are you listening to me? Your spirit becomes a heavenly place. We always think about everything up in heaven, but your spirit becomes a heavenly place when you receive Jesus Christ. So therefore, you have everything in you, in your spirit, when you're saved, that God is going to use in your life, I think, even now and in eternity. It's like a seed. When you put a seed into the ground, that seed has everything in it to grow whatever that seed is. If it's a stalk of corn, it grows that little seed. Grows a stalk of corn and produces ears with corn, and it multiplies itself many times over. That is exactly what you and I are supposed to do in the Christian life. God puts within us at salvation a seed. And that seed has everything in it you need. So it's not a matter of asking God to give you something. It's God. It is, if I can keep myself together here. Anyway, God has given you everything. So you don't have to be pleading to God for these things. You don't have to be pleading him to give you love. You don't have to plead with him to give you faith. You don't have to plead with him to give you deliverance. You don't have to plead with him to give you healing. You don't have to plead with God for these things, because these things are in you. They are in your spirit. They're in that seed of the Holy Spirit that you receive when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So, every morning I would do these things. I would acknowledge God. I would worship God. I would praise God. I would tell him how wonderful he is. I would tell him that I love him. I would have some time with him. I'd be in the Word of God. I'd read at least a chapter out loud every single day, preferably in the morning. And then I would ask God to take what is already in my spirit and bring it out into my life. Are you listening to me? This is going to help you get healed. This is going to help you get delivered. This is going to help you in a lot of things in your Christian life. We look at the whole thing the wrong way. We look at it like everything's in heaven. We've got to plead God for it. Maybe he's going to bring it down to us. Maybe we're going to get healed. Maybe we're going to get this. Maybe we're going to get something else. When the actuality, this says right here, he has blessed us with how many? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, and the Bible says we are in Christ and he is in us. Do I hear an amen? Amen. So we don't. It's not all the way up there in heaven. It's right here inside of us if you're a Christian. And so these are the things that the Bible teaches. This Ephesians, the first three chapters, tells us what God has given us, and then the last three chapters tells us how to use what God's given us. And so God makes this thing very clear. This is the instruction manual. This tells you how to live. But the problem is, a lot of times we get saved and man kind of just feels his way along and he doesn't really study the scriptures and he doesn't really know how to do these things. So while I'm having my time with God, I would ask him for three things every single day. And I'm going to tell you what they are. There's other things, but there's other things you would talk to God about. There's other things you would do. But the issue is there's three things you need to ask him to do every day. All right. The very first one is to release his love within your life. Release his love within your life. I want you to look in Romans 5, 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And this says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given unto us." Now that says the Holy Spirit within your spirit wants to shed the love of God. Love comes from God. The Bible says everything good comes from God. So everything good that you have came from God. And love comes from God. It's not something we conjure up. It's not something we're born with or any of these things. We might have a natural desire in some of these areas, but the God's love is put within us when we're saved. Look at Romans 8, 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." So once again, it talks about his love. Look at Romans 8, 35. "And what shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And it goes on and names all these things. So the point is, God's love's within you, but you have to release it into your life. And so you have to ask God for his love. "Lord, release your love in me every single morning." You receive the love of God at salvation. But how many Christians you know that really show the love of God? Not too many sometimes. We just rest on our salvation and we don't take advantage of what God wants to do. Look in 1 Timothy 1:4. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures real quick because I don't want to take a lot of time this morning, but I want to take enough for you to understand that these things are necessary. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, and that says, wait a minute. That didn't look like the right scripture. Okay, look, I think it's 5. "Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unframed." Now, there's some other things about this. You need to have your sins confessed up. You need to desire for the things of God. You need to get your life right so that the love of God, which is in you, in your spirit, can come out and flow out of you. Look in 2 Timothy 1:13. Okay, now look at this. This says, this is a very good one here. It tells you love's in God, love's in Christ. That's where it comes from. "Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." So that says right there, Jesus is the source of love. You all of these things that I'm going to talk about this morning, the point is that Jesus is the source of these things. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. I'm going to show you more in one scripture so you know that this is true. 1 John 2 and verse 5. "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God." Didn't say the love of man, said the love of God. See it right there? So God puts his love in you. God is love. If you have love, in the truest sense, you have God. Because true love is God. It came from God. He puts it in us. It's something that he gives us. Look at 1 John 3:16. By this perceive we the love of God. Here it is again. This love is of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But here again, we see that this love is of God. So, God gives us all these things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, fruits of the Spirit. These are things God puts in us. They are in you at salvation, but you have to receive them out into your soul, out into your mind, will, and emotions, out into your physical body, and out to the world. So the point is, God has put these things in you. So every morning, God, fill me with your love, that I'm going to show your love throughout this day. Now, I'm telling you three things I'd ask for every single morning. One of them is that the love of God that's in me, in my spirit, will come out into my life, and I'm going to be able to present his love to somebody else. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing I'd ask him for is his faith. Not my faith, his faith. The only way you get saved is the faith of God. If you study the scriptures, you find out that God puts his faith in you for you to believe so you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If he didn't put his faith in us, nobody would ever be saved. It's not something that originates with us. It's something that originates with God. So we have to understand how these things work if we're going to see them work in the Christian life. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. We're talking about faith now. I would ask God for his faith to come out into my life. Now, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. That says, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of who? By the faith of who? By his faith. You see, faith originates with God. It doesn't originate with man. And that's why when we get saved, we're just beginning. We're going to start from there. It's a starting point. We're going to grow in the Lord from that point. And the way we grow is the faith in us, the love in us, it's all mature in our spirit, but we want it into our soul so we will mature where our personality, our life is, and that's in our soul. So this says, knowing that man's not justified by the works of the law, but the faith of Jesus Christ. And that tells you we are saved by his faith and not ours. Are you listening to me? We have to understand what the Bible says about these things so we can understand how we are to respond. Now look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Here's what Paul said. You all know this verse probably. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? I live by the faith of who? So we continue, not only are we saved by God's faith, we live by his faith on a daily basis. That's what that says. So one of the things I'm going to ask for him in the morning, Lord, fill me with your faith for this day, for everything I go through. Give me faith to believe that you're going to do the right thing through me as my day goes along. So I'm going to ask him for his faith. This is not the only place. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23. I've got a lot of things to talk about this, so we're going to move quickly. Galatians 6, 23. I was really, and it doesn't happen every Sunday, but God told me to speak this message this morning. Somebody here needs this message, so it may be you. So Ephesians 6 and verse 23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find out that peace comes from the Father, love comes from the Father, Faith comes from the Father. Peace comes from Jesus. Love comes from Jesus. Faith comes from Jesus. It all comes from God. So let's not run around trying to conjure up this stuff. Let's just receive it into our life because it's already in you if you're a Christian. It's not something that has to come from outside of you. It's not something that has to come from heaven. It comes out of your spirit because that's where Christ is. Do I hear an amen? You see, we have to, it's not way up there someplace and we're way down here. No, it's in us. It's in us. So we want it to come out of us. Now, this is important because you're going to find out how to get healed and how to maintain it from this information right here. That's the important thing. And why sometimes we don't get healed, we're going to explain that through this, because it's all important. It's all in here. Now, I want to show you another verse that's very important here to understand this. Look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And we have a verse here that everybody uses for salvation, rightly so. But also, everything works this way in God's plan. Everything works this way in God's plan for you and I. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now there's two things. That's the way you're saved. You believe it in your heart and you speak it with your mouth. Somebody says, well, I'm saved, but I never tell anybody. Well, I don't know where they got that. You understand? Because right there it says, believe with your heart and speak it with your mouth. Now, I'm here to tell you that's the way God works in every part of your life. You believe it in your heart, you speak it with your mouth. That's the way God works in everything. Salvation, healing, deliverance, everyday life. And if you don't understand this, you're just operating on your own, and that's what you're going to get. Whatever you can do without God. Are you listening to me? And that's the way most Christians operate. They're operating on what they do, and then when they get in trouble, they call God. Well, we're supposed to start with God first, you see, and then live your life. So that's the way this thing works. You say, well, I never heard this before. Well, this day is a good day as any. You see, let's get started in this thing the right way. So you believe in your heart, you say it in your mouth, and I'm going to add one more thing, you act it out in your life. That's the same way with salvation. You believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth, and you act like you're saved. Isn't that right? There's a lot of people get the first two right, and, well, you understand. Okay, now, so Lord, fill me with your faith in this situation. Fill me with your faith in this situation, Lord. Well, why not start the day out with it? Fill me with your faith so I can take on any situation that comes in my life today with the faith of God, not mine. Yeah. How many would rather operate in the faith of God other than yours? You see, that's all of us. And that's exactly the way this works. Start out the day with this. Don't wait until you get into something and then start crying out to God. That's what we usually do. I say we usually do. That's what we do. But it's not the way we're supposed to be doing it. And so I'm going to show you how this works and why some people get healed sometimes and then they, quote, supposedly lose it. Okay? We're going to talk about that. Now, so you ask the Lord, and then you ask the Lord in his faith, we can start speaking things in our life. Now, we can ask the Lord for healing. We can ask the Lord for a job. We can ask the Lord our house be paid for. If we're operating in faith and we're living for God, we can ask for these things to be done. Somebody says, oh, I wouldn't ask God for that. Oh, I'll ask him for salvation. I'll have to do all the rest of it myself. I'm sorry, that's not the Christian life. You could have done that before you were saved. You see. And so, The point is, we never get everything that's in that seed within us out into our life. And that's what we want to do. I don't know about you. I want it all. I want the whole thing. Not just part of it. I want the whole thing. I mean, why waste my time messing around here? Might as well go be with Jesus if I'm not going to let this thing start going. But you understand, it starts growing in this life and continues on in eternity. You see, it doesn't just stop when you die. It's continuing. In fact, it expands in eternity because you got the whole universe at your disposal. Do I hear an amen? We're thinking too small. We're thinking like ants on the earth. And we should be thinking about all eternity is going to be ours in the name of Jesus. You see? We have to get these blinders off our eyes that Satan's put on there and start looking at this life like it's supposed to be. You see? Now, you can ask for these things if you're obedient to God and you're giving to God and you're doing all this stuff you're supposed to be doing, ask him for these things. But I'd start out with love, and then I'd ask him for faith. Are you listening to me? And then, if I was sick, I'll tell you what I'd do. I would pray for myself first. I'd pray, and I have the healing within me. I'm not telling you today everybody's going to get healed, and I'm not, because we live in a fallen world. There's a lot of things, other factors here. But the issue is that I'm going to pray for myself first, and then I'm going to ask others to pray that I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to speak to that cancer or whatever it is and tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Now listen to me carefully from this point on. Here's why some people are not healed. We do all the right stuff. We command that cancer to go, which we have the right to do in Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't happen immediately, if it happens immediately, it's a miracle. If it happens over a period of time, it's a healing. I'll take either one. But here's what usually happens. Maybe you even come down here and we pray for you and everything seems to be pretty cool right at that point. And then you get home and the ache comes back or the pain comes back or something else. And you say, well, I guess that didn't work. Guess who takes that and uses it and makes sure it doesn't work? He's called the devil. You understand? What did we just say? We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouth. And we confess it till we see it. You don't stop confessing you're healed. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Why? Because God said so. The healing's within me. It's in my spirit. And it says if I believe in my heart and speak it with my mouth and keep on speaking it and keep on speaking it and keep on speaking it, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. You see? But we give up and say, well, you know, I was prayed for yesterday, but I got it back today. So, and you come next Sunday, well, I was healed yesterday, but I got it back on Monday. No. Yeah, Monday comes, you say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I don't care what it looks like. I know what God says. I know what his word says, and I'm going to speak it out of my mouth until it happens. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, that's what you do. You believe it before you see it. That's God's way. You don't believe me? Look in Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm trying to explain to you how to get things in your life that God wants you to have. I said that God wants you to have. You see. Well, I guess God didn't want me to be healed. I didn't get healed yesterday. Oh, my. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? What? Correct. For it by the elders receive witness. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, and so on. By faith Abel, and he goes on with that and goes on with that. I'm going to tell you, it says by faith Abel. I'm going to tell you it wasn't Abel's faith, it was God's faith. That's what we have to understand. We have to ask God to put that faith in us for whatever we're going through, whatever the conflict. You don't say the next day or the next 5 minutes, well, I guess that didn't work. It didn't work because you didn't work it. Are you listening to me? God has a way of doing these things. The devil can cause the prayer not to work. If you get negative and you start speaking it's not working, guess who's going to agree with you? It's not going to be God. Well, you pray and you pray and you pray. There may be a delay. There's a delay for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes there's the Bible talks about something called the angelic conflict. And you say, where does it say that? Well, you go to Daniel and you look it up and you find out that one day Daniel prayed. He didn't understand something God had told him and he said, God, what's the answer to this? How long do you think it took God to hear his prayer? Quicker than you could blink your eye. But the answer didn't come for 21 days. Why didn't it come for 21 days? Well, an angel was dispatched to go down to tell Daniel what the answer to his prayer was, and a demonic spirit held him back, and they had a battle for about 21 days. And so the angel called Michael, the archangel, on the 21st day. He said, come down and help me. He did. And then he proceeded on and told Daniel what the answer to the prayer was. And it had to do about the end times in that particular prayer. But we find out there's a lot of reasons. God wants to heal you. God's not in the sickness business. I don't know where we get this idea that God put this thing on me. God does not put sickness on people. It originated with the devil. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden. There's no sickness in heaven. And there's no sickness in your spirit if you have Jesus Christ in you. Are you listening to me? It cannot survive around God. Nobody died in the presence of Jesus except himself. And he gave his life up for you and I. He gave it up for you and I. He could not have died unless he gave it up for you and I, and shed his blood that we would have eternal life. We have to start getting our thinking right. Sickness is not of God. Now, I'm not going to say that at times God doesn't allow it. If it's a possibility that he could allow it, but I'm going to tell you he's not the source of it. How could a person be the source of healing and sickness at the same time? It's impossible. You see, we have to start thinking, God is life. Satan is death. Sickness goes with death, not with God. You see, it's not complicated. You see. Now, so you don't say the next day, well, I guess that didn't work. Well, maybe I don't deserve it. Well, maybe this, maybe that. No. I'm healed in the name of Jesus on Monday. I'm healed in the name of Jesus on Tuesday. I'm healed in the name of Jesus on Wednesday. And it goes on however long it goes on until I actually see the physical healing take place. You see, and you keep on saying it, and you keep on believing it because God said, believe it before you see it. And then the devil can't touch the thing because it's God's faith, it's God's dealing, and so forth. Sometimes God just wants to test us, see if we believe him. So he might not heal you immediately. You see. And so sometimes that happens. I always say do everything you know to do. I pray to God. If I got a sore throat, I might take something for it. I mean, come on. But I'm going to keep speaking the healing of Jesus. I don't tell people not to go to the doctors. You know, but I also think that some people worship doctors more than they worship Jesus. and they're not healed. Are you listening to me? Sorry, doctor, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. There you go. You see? Now, that's true. My former wife died, I believe, because she had more faith in doctors than she had in Jesus. She's a Christian. She's in heaven. I'll see her. But I really believe that's true. And we didn't understand some of the things I'm teaching you now. Sometimes we learn them the hard way. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, is this helping you today? I'm trying to help you here. Okay. Now you do everything you do. Now I'll tell you one thing. You stay in the Word of God. You stay around God's people. You stay in prayer. You do all of those things. You do the practical things. You keep on doing them. Yes.
I have a witness of what you're saying.
Okay.
I developed nail fungus on my fingernails.
Yes. Yes.
My cousin's a doctor. He said he never saw a woman with fungus all over her fingernails. He didn't know what to do. So my brother said, I have no insurance. I'll get you some medicine from my doctor because I have nail fungus on my toes and whatever. So he gets me this medicine from this doctor. I took the medicine. Didn't work.
Okay.
Now, I've already been to a doctor, and I've already taken the medicine. I got no answer for the nail fungus.
Okay.
But I'm praying.
Yes.
God, give me an answer.
Yes.
Or, this is so embarrassing. I would put nail polish on to hide it during the day, and then when I get home, I'd take it off. And every night, Jerry and I would take communion together, and I'd thank God for my nails that were healed. And I look down at the yellow, breaking off, peeling nails, and I think, this is nuts, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to speak healing. I didn't even have a faith, but I believed that God was my only source for healing.
Okay.
We are having a prayer meeting at our house, and Pam says to me, I'd like to have you get your nails done for your birthday present. I said, oh, Pam. No, my nails are in terrible shape. I said, I've got terrible problems with my nails. I got all this fungus, and of course I had it all covered up. And she says, oh, just stick your fingers in a little bleach. Stick my fingers in a little bleach. So I got a bottle of bleach, and I put it in my bathroom. Every time I went into the bathroom, I poked my fingers in this bleach.
Okay.
But God was faithful.
Yes.
And I said it when I didn't see it. I said it when I didn't even believe it. But I had to speak the right words. I had to speak healing. I had to hold on to God because He's all I have.
Right.
And that's how desperate we need for our healing, is we've got to hold on to Him.
Right.
Because there's no one else.
Right.
Got the answer but God.
Amen. And you do the practical things. You take whatever, nothing wrong with taking an aspirin or whatever. That's not a problem. But you want to eat right. You want to get rest. You want to do the normal things you would do. But you keep on confessing, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And this then builds our faith once it comes through.
Yes.
It's look at it, it's all His plan.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
And
yes. And so, now here's the way I do it. If I had some sickness doctor, you know, doctors are always great, particularly because of insurance purposes. They say, well, you got 5 months to live. Well, I refuse that in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to claim the healing of Jesus. I'm going to claim the healing of Jesus. I'm going to claim the healing of Jesus. And if I die, it was my time. And I'm going to be with Jesus, the one I'm praying to. And that's not a bad thing. You understand? But you don't give up praying. And you pray for somebody and they die. Well, maybe it's their time. Or maybe they're doing some things involving some bunch of junk that you don't know anything about. Maybe they're in the occult, or maybe they're in drugs. Who the heck knows what they're into? But the issue is you don't give up, you don't stop, you don't quit, and you don't say anything critical and negative about it. What we don't understand as Christians, anytime you start criticizing something, the devil can separate you from it. Now listen to me carefully. You get on your job and you're critical all the time. Well, you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon you're not going to have a job, because Satan's going to take that and separate you from your job. It's the same way in the church. If we wanted to write down 10 critical things about this church, everybody could probably write down 20. But the issue is, be positive. Write down the good things and pray about the others, and don't be critical, or Satan will take you right out of here. I've seen it happen all the time. You get critical about your mate, and you're married, and Satan will take that, put a wedge between you, and pretty soon you're divorced because you didn't speak the positive things of God. You spoke the negative things of the enemy, and it'll destroy your life. Are you listening to me? It makes a difference what we say. It makes a difference what comes out of our mouth, because good things God takes and blesses, bad things Satan takes and curses. That comes out of our mouth. If we just learn that, it'd bring a lot of healing in the body of Christ. Do I hear an amen? All right. Now, so negative words is going to allow demons to use them against you and other people. You know, why this isn't taught in the Christian church, I have no idea. Because people are dropping off like flies, and you wonder why in the world, because they do not believe the word of God. God says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Clean up your tongue. You know, they had a lady one time, and she said she had a bad tongue, and she came down at the invitation time, and she said, "I want to lay my tongue on the altar." And the pastor said, "It's not big enough." Well, anyway, you get the idea. I'm talking about the altar wasn't big enough. You understand what I'm... Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Abraham, there's a couple of examples. There's no way I'm going to get this done this morning. Oh. Anyway, it's all your fault, whoever's giving all these testimonies. What? Ooh, that was negative. I take that back. In the name of Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Woo. Oh, my goodness. Abraham asked for a son. He asked God for a son. He said, "God, I haven't got an heir. I haven't got a son. My servant's going to inherit everything I have." God said, "No problem." He said, "I'm going to give you a son." You know how long it took? 25 years. God's timing. Every day Abraham be talking to people, "Oh, I'm going to have a son." Well, he was at that 20, finally had the son. He was 100. His wife was 90. You know what God was doing? "I'm going to make sure everybody knows this is a miracle of God." Yeah. Are you listening? "I'm going to make sure everybody knows this was a miracle of God." And every day he'd go out and say, "Oh, I'm going to have a son." The people would be laughing behind his back. "This old dude's going to have a son. Give me a break." You know, he's 99, and his wife gets pregnant. She's 89. And they have a son. His name was Isaac. Laughter. People laughed at God, but God kept his word. You see what I'm saying? You don't give up on anything you ask God. You don't give up until you give up in the grave. Are you listening to me? You speak positive until your tongue doesn't work anymore. You speak positive, and you believe it in your heart, and you speak it, and you're going to see God work. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You see. Ever give up. As long as you're breathing, don't give up. And don't give up for others you're praying for. Don't give up. I don't care what it looks like, where they're at, how bad it gets. Don't give up. All right, the third thing, real quick, is hope. Everybody's got to have hope. Everybody's got to have a future and a hope. God said, I'm going to give you a future and a hope. Where is it? It's in your spirit. It's in the seed. You got to hope for it. You got to believe it before you see it. You got to believe God's going to give you these things, whatever he was going to give you. Hope is a person. Hope is Christ. Hope originates from God. I'm not going to give you the scriptures. Take the time. It's just a fact. Now, one last thing, and I'm going to close with this. That's the third thing I'd ask for. Lord, give me hope for the future. I don't want to be depressed all day long reading the newspaper and watching the news. I guarantee you now it'll do it. Turn the dumb thing off. We're believing in God, not what those people say on television and what they say in Washington, D.C. We're going to believe God.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? I don't care what they're saying in Europe. I don't say what the common market is saying. I'm going to believe God. My finances and my life does not depend on the finances on Wall Street. Are you listening to me? Or any place else. It is in God. The seed is in me. Don't you believe God has enough resources to take care of your situation? As long as you're not laying around doing nothing. God says very simply, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Ooh, aren't you glad you came? You see? Well, I'm going to tell you something very interesting. I'm going to give you a little hope. I got a book here. It tells about Azusa Street. Azusa Street was revival about 100 years ago. It was in an old stable out in California. And a one-eyed black man was the pastor. And they had about 700 people in that church. And people were coming everywhere, and people were getting healed, and the Shekinah glory was there. The presence of God was so strong, it was like a fog inside of that place. And one of the persons who used to tell this story was 3 years old, and she used to sleep under the pew, and she'd play with that fog, and that was the presence of God in that place. It was so strong that many, many people got healed instantly. Tremendous miracles in the presence of God, that happens. You don't always have that. But I'm going to tell you something very interesting about this whole deal. This was 100 years ago. And I'm going to read here just a second. I'm not going to read a whole bunch of stuff. 100 years ago, the pastor of that church prophesied that there was going to be a greater revival than Azusa Street 100 years later in 2009 and 2010. That ought to give you a little hope. And here's what it says. There's another man, Charles Parham, also prophesied in another revival what would happen in about 100 years. Seymour, who was the pastor of that church at Azusa Street, made the prophecy around 1909 or 1910. Several people made the prophecy. And that prophecy was that God once again was going to send his Shekinah glory to his people. And I'm going to tell you, when that time is, we're coming to that time in the next few months.